Bibles to Luke chapter 1, verse 26. We're going to read until verse 38 together. By the way, Merry Christmas. Are you guys ready for Christmas? All right. I was expecting a little bit more excitement, but we're going to go with that. Okay. So how many are happy to be in the house of the Lord? Okay. There, we're getting there. Has everybody done their Christmas shopping? Everybody good? Okay. We're working on that too. Well, praise the Lord. Well, that gave you enough time to turn to Luke chapter 1, so let's read together. In Luke chapter 1, the 26th verse, it says, "In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, 'Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you.' But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end.' And Mary said to the angel, 'How will this be, since I am a virgin?' And the angel answered her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has already conceived a son, and is in the sixth month with her who is called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God.' And Mary said, 'Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word.' And the angel departed from her." Can we all say amen to God's word? I do have a question for you, and the question goes like this. Has anybody in your walk in faith, or maybe just anybody in your life, has anybody ever come to you and said, "God told me"? I can already see, yeah. "God told me to tell you." Now, for me, I went to Bible school many, many years ago, and it's interesting what would happen in Bible school, because there would be some young men, and I'm excluding myself because I never did this, but I just want to make sure we're clear on this. But there would be times where there's these young men who would be sitting in their dorm praying for an hour, reading the Bible, fasting for 30 minutes, and then expressing how great they love the Lord, you know? And then all of a sudden, they would get the confidence to walk out of that dorm room. And as they walk into the campus, they would begin to eye the young lady that they were looking at for almost the whole semester. And you know, the unique thing is that this happened many times, and I'm not even making this up. This happened a few times. So God, these individuals would be so full of God's spirit, or some kind of spirit, and basically they would walk up to this young lady and they would say, "The Lord has spoken to me. He has called me to be your husband." Now, this would be a beautiful thing if the young lady had confirmation, maybe by the Spirit, but a lot of times it never worked out that way. A lot of times she would be calling security in her mind, like, "Get this person away from me." She would think that she's maybe in a show of Stranger Things or something like that, because strange things are happening at that moment. But here's the thing. If we were to ask God, whenever you hear people say that, "God, did you have anything to do with that?" I think God would probably say, "I ain't had nothing to say or do about that young man going to talk to her." But I want us to understand in Luke chapter 1, that is not what is happening, you see. I want us to really understand that we're not dealing with confusion. We're not dealing with emotional impulse. We're not dealing with somebody's personal desire disguised as prophecy. No, in this moment, this is God speaking. This is clarity. This is divine direction. This is heaven interpreting what earth has a purpose, that it has a purpose because heaven is interrupting what is going on here on this earth. We have to understand at this very moment, God is stepping into human history, and he is going to fulfill a promise that we see all throughout the Old Testament. Can I get an amen on that? We have to understand whenever we look at the scriptures and we understand that there is prophesied one to come, they are calling it the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that we're about to read about. But I want us to start and look again in verse 26. It says, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God. We have to understand what was happening in the chapter one. You see two different stories happening. You see one, Zechariah was approached by Gabriel. He did not believe that his wife Elizabeth would conceive, but God made an impossible situation possible. Amen. But then he goes to Elizabeth and he shares with her what is about to happen, you see. See, whenever we look at this, this is Gabriel being sent from God, meaning that this right now is heaven's initiative. This has nothing to do with Mary's ambitions. He goes to a town called Nazareth, and let's just say this town is so irrelevant that even John chapter 1 says, can anything good come from Nazareth? But we have to understand that God has a way of doing something like this. God's light doesn't always start in the spotlight here on this earth. Sometimes it starts with a young lady like Mary, betrothed to her future husband to be Joseph. If we look in verse 27, it says, Mary is a virgin, betrothed to Joseph of the house of David. You see, this ties Jesus directly to the Messiah promise in 2 Samuel chapter 7, where God promised David an eternal king. See, through this eternal king, we see a young lady at this moment. She's very unknown, she's young, and she's very ordinary. But heaven calls her something different, something she probably has never really heard. You hear this angel come in and he says, greetings, O favored one. And we have to understand, favored means graced by God, chosen by God, or overshadowed by God's purpose, you see. So Mary looks at the situation and she's like, oh my goodness, what is about to happen? Because in Luke chapter 29 through 30, it tells us she is greatly troubled. She's trying to discern what the angel is trying to say to her. She's not scared. It says, it insinuates she's not scared of the angel and his physical presence. She's more looking at what is being said to her. Because at this moment, what she is hearing, this calling is about to change her life forever. Amen? So he says, you will conceive and you will bear a son and you shall call his name, say it with me, Jesus. See, when we talk about Christmas, this is what this season is all about. It is about the name of Jesus. You see, it is a fulfillment of prophecy, and I could only imagine what Mary is thinking at that moment. Maybe all the stories that she heard over the years about the prophesied one. You have to understand, even Pastor Kevin brought this up last week with Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. It says, the seed of the woman will crush the serpent's head, which means Mary becomes the literal fulfillment of this prophecy. Isaiah 7, verse 14. It says, a virgin will conceive and bear a son. Gabriel is quoting it word for word. Isaiah 9, 6 through 7, it shares with us, unto us a child is born. You understand that we'll call him Mighty God, Prince of Peace. But it also says, his kingdom will have no end. Gabriel says, he will reign forever, and his kingdom will have no end. And it says in Micah 5, verse 2, from Bethlehem shall come a ruler from ancient days. Mary's child will be born, you see, in Bethlehem. And in 2 Samuel 7, verse 12 through 14, it lets us understand, I will raise up your descendants and I will establish his kingdom forever. Jesus will sit on David's throne. In Jeremiah 23, verse 5, a righteous branch from David will reign, meaning the son of the Most High will be with you. All of heaven's promises now living, about to live in her womb. Could you imagine that? Receiving a call like that. And then the angel says to her, you will call his name. Let's say it again, Jesus. And you know, it's interesting to me, I always find it interesting that God did not give her the opportunity to name the child herself. And I have to be honest, there have been times and there have been moments where I have met a newborn baby and I asked the parents, what is the newborn baby's name going to be? And sometimes they will let me know what that baby's name is going to be, and I'm like, what have you done to this child? Has that happened to anybody? In this situation, I've met some individuals. I've heard of somebody being called courageous, and let's just say at that season of his life, he wasn't that courageous, you see. And then I remember in eighth grade, I met a young lady by the name of Precious, and she was not precious. She was probably one of the meanest people I've ever met in my life. But sometimes names have a way of naming kids and having them live up to something. But let's just say in certain scenarios, we sometimes don't see that. But in this name, the name which is above every name, we have to understand that he is about to live up to something. We have to understand that every time she calls upon the name of Jesus, it really is stating Yahweh saves, meaning God saves. Every time that Mary says his name, you will find identity, his mission, and his purpose within his name. You have to understand every time that she will call out the name Jesus, she is saying he is God's son. She is saying he came to save. She is also saying he will redeem. Can I get an amen? Amen. And in this name, which is above every name, we definitely need it, because as we learned last week, through Kevin's message, there was the fall of man in the garden. There is the fall of humanity through sin in the garden, and we need a Savior. We need a Savior. Why? Because as Kevin was saying last week, when sin entered the world, it redefined what is right. So what did God do? He sent his light. See, sin twisted what is right. Sin distorted what is good. Sin broke relationship with God and even with each other. Sin plunged the world into darkness. If sin redefined what is right, then Jesus came to redefine it back to God's purpose and plan. Amen? See, in John chapter 1, it reminds us, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. So remember, when we call upon the name of Jesus, we're calling upon his name that is full of light, that is full of life, that is full of hope, that is full of goodness. See, his name is needed, especially in this dark world. We need his light into this dark world, into the broken systems, into the distorted and confused identities of this world, into distorted right and wrongs. God sent his light. He gave his son, Jesus, for us. That is why we're here celebrating Christmas this morning. That is why we take this season to remind ourselves, why is this moment so powerful and important? Because he was thinking of every single one of us who are in the room right now whenever he sent his son. Amen. Mary is carrying a baby. She's carrying salvation. She's carrying redemption. She's carrying the light itself that's stepping into darkness right now. And she's carrying something so profound and so powerful that even when we call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we in turn find our identity, we find our mission, and we find our purpose, and we find our impact through his name. And how do we do that? Because we are overshadowed by his presence. We're overshadowed by the Spirit of the living God. And even as Mary was asking that question, how is this going to happen? It is stated in Luke chapter 1, verse 35, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And I want us to be reminded that this word overshadow comes from Exodus 40, when God's presence filled the tabernacle. Mary is carrying something powerful. She is carrying the light of the world. She is carrying hope itself. She is literally what we would consider a first of a kind. She is carrying Jesus, the person, if we accept him as Lord and as King and as Savior, we in turn get to carry him as Word. She as well, she is a first of a kind, because understand this, as we talk about Mary, as we read the scriptures, as we understand what is happening at this very moment, we can look at it and we can understand, man, this is a seasonal scripture. We can leave it here and just walk away, but I want us to grab a hold of this right now and understand this, that Jesus is coming into a world, but it's interesting how we should think about Mary. Mary's not being worshiped here. She is being favored to carry out the calling of the Lord. In an understanding like this, we have to also see to it that in this Christmas message or a Christmas message like this, we can lose sight of the fact that, yes, Mary had a unique and a distinct relationship with Jesus, because she gets to raise Jesus. She gets to be there with Jesus. She gets to have conversations with Jesus. She's going to have a relationship that is so distinct and different than what we would be able to experience in our own life. But we need to remember, as she carries Jesus physically, we have to understand the relationship we have is also distinct, is also different than some others that are out there. This relationship that we get to carry, this light that we get to carry, is unique in our own life. So as we read the scriptures, don't just leave it in the scriptures. Understand what he has done and what he is going to do and what he's continually doing lives in you. Amen? Lives inside of you. And it says also in verse 38, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." I think sometimes when we think of our relationship with the Lord, sometimes we can look at life and we can say there are so many things that are going on. There's so many situations that are happening in our culture right now that surpass my gifting, that surpass my perspective, that surpass my calling. It is beyond me. But sometimes I think that we need to take the steps like Mary took, an act of surrender to the calling of the Lord. She said, "I am your servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." Understand, Mary doesn't understand all the details. She doesn't know how Joseph will respond whenever he hears about this. She doesn't know the cost. She doesn't understand what is about to happen. But the one thing that really intrigues me is the faith that she carries, because she understands that there is a calling, and she didn't have to have all the details. She just said, "Let it be unto me. I am making myself available to what it is that you want to do." And I think for us in our walk with Christ, I pray that we can get to a place where we make ourselves available and say, "Let it be unto me according to your word. Let it be unto me. I make myself available for the things that you are calling me, the task that you would have me deal with. I make myself available to you, O God." And you know what? For some of us, when we think about Mary even being the first of her kind, some of us might be the first of our kind in our families and with our friendships and within our workspaces. But if that is you, sometimes we need to take this step back. If that is you, that let it be unto me in the way that I need to have these conversations with family, in these ways that I need to talk to my coworkers, in these ways that I need to approach things that are happening in this world. And one of the things that we understand when we come into the identity of Christ, when he begins to put his thumbprint on us, we begin to carry something in this. We begin to carry his light, as we've been talking about. We carry his light. So what does happen when we carry his light? It's first thought for today is that his light rewrites our identity. We have to understand this. Mary goes from girl from Nazareth to highly favored. You have to understand she's living an ordinary life to overshadowed by glory. She is unknown, but to God she is chosen. Let us remind ourselves today that the light shines on her. But if the light shines on her, for those who are in Christ, he also shines in us. We have to remember when he calls you, when he sees you, he doesn't look at your past. He's looking at who he is calling you into, you see. You're not the worst moment of your life. You're not your failure. You're not a label. He is calling you into a purpose. He is calling you into an identity that is grafted by his goodness, by his power, and by his love. He is calling you. And to all that receive him, he gave the right to become the children of God. That is what we learn from John chapter 1, verse 12. Our identity is not earned. We can't earn it. We receive it. Today, as we think through this story of Mary, as we understand what is happening here, understand, like I said, she is not known. She is unknown, but God knows her. And I think right now some of us might be walking in society or in our lives today feeling that we're alone. We feel like we're not a part of anything. But understand this, God sees you. You may feel that you're not chosen in certain areas of your life, but I just want to remind you, you are chosen for his purpose. You may not feel a sense of love, but understand this, that he gave his only son because he loved you. So if you walk out feeling a despair or a hopelessness or concern, understand he sees you. He loves you. And he sent his son for you. And that's the power of this message. This is the power of what we're reading together. See, whenever we look at this, we have to remember you are in Christ. And Christ is in you. So when we carry Jesus, for some of us who are walking with shame, you don't carry the shame anymore. You carry his sonship. We don't carry the insecurities of our lives at this moment anymore, even though insecurities do happen. But if we call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and know that he is in us, we carry his identity. We don't carry those things. And that's why his light redirects our purpose, which is our second thought today. See, Mary had plans. You have to understand, she probably had plans to marry Joseph, raise a family, live quietly. But God said, I'm going to take use of your life, your ordinary life, and reveal my extraordinary purpose, not only in you, but in this world. So for us here today, thank you, Lord, that you did this work, and thank the Lord that Mary said yes, so that we can have this opportunity to have this relationship with Jesus. We have to remind ourselves, even John chapter 14, 12 says to us, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and even greater works than these. And I want us to really understand at this moment, it does not mean more impressive, the works that you will do. It just means more expansive, meaning the message, the purpose will have more expansive nature versus impressiveness. Meaning when Jesus was here on this earth, he was limited to 33 years here on this earth in this physical body as one individual. But guess what? His calling continues to live through the work not only he did on the cross, but all those who receive who he is, it now lives and walks with you. His purpose continues to flow through us, through all of us. So when we think about being limited, when we think about the things that are happening in our lives, remember, we are God's workmanship created in Christ for good works prepared beforehand. He is getting ready to do a good work through us, according to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says. So some of you have known this. You've seen it happen in your own life. You've seen it happen in your life when Jesus interrupted your life, where you were going a completely different direction, and then all of a sudden, he comes in like he came into Mary's life. He comes in and he changes your career, or your career just shifted. Your priorities begin to change. Your identities, your dreams are reshaped to look like his. Your plans are bent towards his purpose and not your own purpose because God interrupted maybe your good plans to give you his greater or better purpose for you. I think this is so powerful for all of us, because when we think about what the Lord is doing and how he is working and how he's utilizing us, especially in this season, let us never lose sight of the fact that we are carrying someone, something very unique and very powerful every single day of our lives. Let us not forget that he is in us and he is working through us. And if we ever feel that we do not have a purpose, if we feel that we do not have a plan, if we feel like we are withering away in some direction, understand that you can gravitate back to the name that is above every name and seek out his face and seek out what it is that he is calling you to do, and understand that he will give you a plan. He will give you that purpose to go the direction that you are called to go. Amen. This light that we carry is full of so much purpose. And we are reminded almost every week of that purpose that we carry. We are reminded all the time about the Great Commission that we get to carry through our workspaces and in our families. We are reminded of the impact that we will have in this world because we're carrying his name. And that's what leads us to our third thought today. His light expands through us. We have to remember his light, his gospel, his goodness expands through us. We don't hold it to ourselves. We understand as we turn to him, as we lean in on his word, on his direction, he expands through us. See, Mary's impact wasn't based on her performance. It wasn't based on the presence. It wasn't based on the works that she can do. It was based on the presence she carried. And Jesus promised us the same presence. We ask sometimes, how are we going to carry this expansion? How are we going to carry the greater things? How are we going to do all the things that you're even calling me to do? How am I going to do those things? Because you have someone special living in you right now. As a matter of fact, John 14, verse 16 through 17, it says, I will ask my Father, and he will give you another helper, the Spirit of truth, and he dwells with you and you and will be with you all the time. So if you ever feel that you're empty, if you ever feel like you're walking alone, understand this, you have someone dwelling inside of you, helping you, empowering you, encouraging you, teaching you, calling upon you, sometimes convicting you. But remember, Christ is in you. Christ is in you to the hope of glory. So when we carry Jesus, here are some things to think about. When we really carry him, hopefully we don't look the same. Hopefully we don't talk the same. Hopefully we're not doing the same things. Hopefully we're not carrying the same sins in our life. Hopefully we're looking a little bit differently. Hopefully he is working in us. So when we carry Jesus, our conversations change. Our homes change. Our atmospheres change. Our parenting changes. Your legacy changes. Your schools change. Why? Because you are carrying his light. And according to Matthew 5, it says, you are the light of this world. And remember, the light spills, it light shines, it light reveals, and the light transforms. Meaning his light, his gospel, his truth is the one that's doing the work inside of us that we could never ever do. There is a powerful source that is living inside of you that is doing a work that sometimes you may not even understand, but he is working it out for you. He is guiding you. He is empowering you. Some of us might be losing hope, but remember, you are walking and you are carrying somebody with a name that is beyond any name here on this earth. You are carrying this name, Jesus. You are carrying his light. You are carrying his fragrance. You are carrying his atmosphere everywhere you go. Let us remember that as we walk in this life. You see, Jesus is so powerful, and even as he is powerful, remember, Mary carried Jesus physically. We carry Jesus spiritually. What she carried in Nazareth, I want us to remember, we carry in Plano, or the areas that we live. You get to carry it in your home. You get to carry it in your workplace. You get to carry it in your schools. You get to carry it at the family table. And honestly, it's not to be impressive. It may not be impressive, but to hopefully that your heart can look like Mary's and say, let it be unto me as a servant of the Most High God. Let your work work through my life. I want to be available for the things that you're calling me to. I just want to be available. And hopefully that is our heart. Hopefully that is our heart's posture. So today we don't just celebrate Christmas. We carry Christmas. We don't just say Merry Christmas. We get to live Christmas, right? To live Christmas is what? To look like Jesus, honestly. And how does that look? It means to carry his light everywhere we go. It means to carry his presence everywhere we go. It means to carry his love everywhere we go. It means to carry his ministry and to carry hope everywhere we go. So whenever we look and think on these things, hopefully God is moving in your hearts right now to carry his light. I understand that we're going to be around family, and sometimes that can be a little peculiar for some of us during the holidays. Some of us are going to get into conversations that we probably shouldn't this holiday. Some of us are already thinking of ways to counter-strike debates right now at the Christmas table, for dinner right now. You're just thinking of it. You want to know what to say, and you're just planning it out. But instead of that, make yourself available. Make yourself available for his goodness to shine through you. Make yourself available for him to love through you. Make yourself available for his light to speak through you. Make yourself available. And I understand in this season, it's not the easiest season for a lot of people. And I just want to remind those who are saying, maybe I'm just not in the Christmas spirit this year. When you say carry Christmas, I don't know if I can do that this year. And my hope today, this morning, is that you're reminded about what we talked about earlier, that you are carrying a name. For those who are in Christ, you are carrying a name. For those who are walking without the knowledge of Christ, I invite you to think and maybe pray about having him be center stage of your life so that he can dive in and share with you his hope, his peace, his goodness. But if you don't feel like carrying Christmas, just remember his name that is above every name. Remember, his name is God saves from sin. His name is God saves from shame. His name is God saves from the lie. His name is God saves from any type of addiction. His name is God saves from any type of despair. His name is God saves from any type of condemnation. God saves us. God saves you. And he saves you from trying to do all the work on your own. And that's why he sends his Holy Spirit. So for you who are feeling like you are trying to survive this Christmas, just know this. You're not just surviving a season. You're carrying a Savior this season. You're not just walking through pain. You're getting to walk with his presence, who will guide you through the pain. You're not just going through darkness right now. Right now, you are carrying the light that shines in the darkness. But my prayer for you today, the prayer for us today, the heart posture for today when we carry this light, is that our prayer would be just like Mary. Without the details, without the understanding of what's next, without knowing how everything or every detail is going to look for your future, let it be unto me according to your word. I make myself available, Lord, to you. I make myself available to carry your light in a world that so desperately needs you. I make myself available in my parenting to carry your light, in my friendships to carry your light. I make myself available because your light carries goodness, it carries salvation, it carries purpose, it carries power. So let it be in my heart, let it be in my family, let it be in my future, Let it be in my identity. Let it be in my purpose. Let it be something that overshadows who I am. Let every single person that walks around me see that I carry your light. Let everybody understand that I walk with his presence. Let it be unto us, Legacy Church, this morning. Amen. Can we pray together? Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you for your love. I thank you for your power. I thank you, Lord, for your message, this light that we get to carry. Holy Spirit, for some of us who are walking through the difficult moments, I ask, Lord Jesus, that you give peace to those who are walking in despair, because you are the Prince of Peace. I ask, Father, that you would be the counselor over people's hearts that are struggling through confusion and through doubt, Lord, this morning, because you are the wonderful counselor. I ask, Lord, in the situations where we just don't know what is going to happen next, that you would be mighty, O God, because you are the mighty God. But Lord, let us not carry despair. Let us carry your light. Let us be the people who carry your light in places of anxiety and bring hope. Let us be people who carry your light and share your hope. Help us, Holy Spirit. Let this Christmas not look like every other Christmas, but let this Christmas be different because we are walking and carrying your light everywhere we go, unashamedly walking with your gospel message. Be with us, Holy Spirit. Guide us, Holy Spirit. And give us the strength and the ability to walk with your light. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.